One Bright Morning by Bitter Snow. The first rays of dawn are just peeking through the window when Sirius opens his eyes. The snow reflects the light of the dawn, making it even brighter, bathing the room in golden light. His family's old hunting cabin had cleaned up rather nicely, all things considered. The wooden walls of the small room feel cozy and warm, rather than constricting, after years spent in a cage of frigid stone and metal. Turning over, he sees Severus laying on his side facing him, hair half covering his face, his breathing even and deep with sleep. Sirius almost never wakes up before Severus, even now. He'd never so much as seen the man asleep before the end of the war, so he treasures this moment now. He tries to memorize the endearing way Severus has his arms tucked against his chest, the contrast of the pale curve of his nose against his dark hair, the way the light of the dawn makes his skin appear almost golden. It's been months since the war ended, and Sirius still can't believe that it's over, that he and Severus both survived when so many others didn't. They had been through their share of turmoil, though, that was for certain. Their school days, of course, Sirius thinks with a piercing twinge of shame. Then, after his escape from Azkaban, and that night in the Shrieking Shack, he'd been able to slip back into his hatred of Snape like a well-fitting glove. The glares of loathing and barbs traded back and forth between them felt almost comforting as the Dark Lord rose again, the Order reformed, and the world around started crumbling. At least it was something familiar. He imagined that Severus had felt the same way. The night things changed, they were having yet another argument about tactics that had turned into an argument about nothing, long after everyone else had left. Severus had fisted a hand in his shirt, and Sirius hadn't been able to think about anything but the warmth of it. Somehow, it was the first time they'd ever touched. He'd always thought of Snape's hands as cold, of everything about the man as cold and dark and dreary like the dungeons he inhabited. But the truth was that everything about Snape was burning. His hands, the fury sparking in his dark eyes, the splotchy red blush spreading across his cheeks, his thin bottom lip, bright red from all the time he spent biting it during the Order meeting. And before Sirius realized what he was doing, he had pressed his mouth to Snape's, just trying to take a bit of that heat for himself. He had felt so cold since returning to Grimmauld Place. Chilly, even in the summer. By early winter, it had become unbearable. Stuck in the very cold he thought he had escaped with Azkaban. The chill had seeped into his very bones until he felt like little more than a decaying corpse ambling about a decaying house. Grimmauld Place, a fitting enough mausoleum. Or maybe he felt like a ghost, trapped in one place, able to speak to the living but unable to help them or affect the world in any way that actually mattered. In his darkest moments, he wondered if this was how his mother had felt near the end, with one son dead and the other locked out of her reach forever. Their eyes all slid over him when discussing missions. They all knew how useless he was, and no one had touched him in so long. He had Remus as a friend, at least, but Remus had always held himself a bit apart from everyone physically, probably due to some anxiety over his condition, and Sirius hadn't been able to bring himself to ask. Hadn't been able to risk the suffocating well of pity in Remus's eyes growing even deeper, deep enough to drown in. So when Snape gave him the first spark of life he had felt in months, maybe it wasn't surprising that he latched onto it with all he had. What was surprising was that after going rigid for a few moments, Snape had returned the kiss with equal fervor. Sirius hadn't understood why at the time, but now he realizes that Severus had been just as desperate for human contact, just as desperate for a chance at being understood as Sirius had been. Once the wall between them had been broken, there was no going back. They had been unable to keep their hands off each other as soon as the others had departed each Order meeting. What began as frenzied and angry had begun to soften slightly over the next few months, until the fateful day when Severus had appeared in his doorway, frantic, babbling on about how Potter believed he was at the Ministry. The relief in Severus's eyes at seeing him safe had quickly turned to horror when Sirius made it clear he was going after Harry.
"Black, you must know that would be exactly what the Dark Lord wants. The rest of the Order is always on the way. Don't risk giving him yourself as bait," Severus had said then. Don't tell me you're actually stupid enough to fall for this. Then, please, please, don't do this, Sirius. I can't lose you.
In any other circumstance, Sirius would have stayed with him, but he couldn't risk losing Harry. Not when Harry was trying to save him, even after he was already responsible for Harry's parents' death. And Sirius almost hadn't made it back. Knocked into unconsciousness by a nasty curse from Bella, he'd been taken into custody of the Ministry with the Death Eaters. The weeks he'd spent in a Ministry holding cell were terrible, but at least they hadn't sent him back to Azkaban. He was lucky that things had even gotten sorted out at all, and he hadn't been left a soulless husk. But after the Dark Lord's return, the Ministry had become very willing to listen to Harry, at least for a few weeks. Once he had been set free, his name finally cleared, he had tried to patch things up with Severus, to no avail.
"I'm sorry," he had said then, "for all of it."
All while Severus's hollow eyes looked right through him. Severus had retreated behind a mask of icy indifference, and nothing Sirius tried could penetrate it. Not that he had much time, with Voldemort's return public and the war in full swing. He had tried to put their relationship out of his mind, told himself that it was a failed experiment of two personalities too volatile to coexist for long. One of them was going to make a mistake the other couldn't forgive, and it only made sense that it would be Sirius, given their history. Maybe, if he'd thought things through a little more, he would have realized that Severus was also spending that year gradually distancing himself from the Order, would have connected that to the rot spreading up Dumbledore's hand and into his arm. Perhaps then, he would have been able to put the pieces together when he heard Harry's frantic tale of Snape killing Dumbledore in cold blood, the Death Eaters roaming Hogwarts. As it was, he had only felt a deep sense of disbelief and wrongness. A part of him still hadn't been able to believe it. Not that he doubted Harry's honesty, even months later when they were on the run through the dreary countryside. Ron had kept Potter Watch on constantly, and Sirius had done his best not to flinch every time Snape's name was mentioned, hearing the things he was accused of doing. He couldn't believe that the man he had argued with, slept with, held, and occasionally laughed with, had truly been a monster all along. The children had known nothing of his relationship with Snape, and he couldn't possibly burden them with anything more, when they already had far too much responsibility on their shoulders. So he suffered his heartbreak in silence. When they had returned to Hogwarts, he had seen Snape for the first time in months. He had only been able to notice the man's eyes, the way they looked hollow and cold like the man was already dead. He had followed Harry to the Shrieking Shack that night, seen Snape's throat ripped out, and felt nothing but grief. Once Voldemort had left, he had pressed his hands to Snape's neck, used every spell he could think of to try and stop the bleeding. Sirius wants to believe that a part of him always knew that Severus was on their side deep down, and that was why he chose to save him. But maybe a part of him didn't want to see the dim spark in Severus's eyes extinguished for the final time. Or maybe, because James and Lily were dead, Peter was dead, and he'd just lost Remus, leaving Snape as the only real tether to his past, no matter what he'd done. The rest of the night was a blur of terror and grief, but by the end of it, Harry and Sirius were still alive, the war was won, and Sirius's true allegiance had been revealed. Severus had just barely clung to life through the night. He hadn't even regained consciousness when the Aurors came for him. Sirius hadn't been present when they took him. He was with Andromeda as she went to collect Tonks's body, or he wouldn't have let them take him.
"A precautionary measure," the interim minister had called it,
to ensure the wizarding world was safe in a period of turmoil and transition.
"We couldn't really have the man accused of murdering Albus Dumbledore roaming the streets now, could we?"
he had said with an infuriatingly condescending smile. It had taken all of Sirius's restraint not to strangle the man. It had taken months more of petitioning and cajoling to get Severus released. With Voldemort dead, the Ministry had wanted someone to make an example of. Severus had been one of the few high-ranking Death Eaters alive and within their reach. Severus hadn't even been allowed to receive letters. Harry's influence had won out in the end, with Harry gone from the boy who lived to the man who had slain the Dark Lord, an unassailable hero in the eyes of the public. Sirius gave them about another 6 months until the newspapers found something to try and tear Harry down for, bloody vultures. And with the Ministry on very shaky grounds with the public, They'd had little choice. The Ministry would just have to content themselves with painting Lucius Malfoy as the mastermind behind the Dark Lord's most twisted plans to appease the public. Sirius couldn't muster up much sympathy for the man after all of the things Lucius had actually done. Still, they had managed to delay Severus's release for almost 6 months after Voldemort's death. It was mid-November, and there was frost on the ground by the time Severus was released from Azkaban. Sirius had met him at the entrance, far closer than he ever thought he'd voluntarily go to the gates of Azkaban again. The empty, emotionless expression Severus wore had morphed into shock upon seeing Sirius. At first, Sirius had wondered whether he'd made a mistake. After all, he and Severus had only really been together for several months a few years prior, and the rest of their relationship before and after had been tumultuous at best. His worry that he had miscalculated, that Severus may have wanted a fresh start away from the bitter reminders of the past Sirius was sure to provoke, was quickly allayed when the man collapsed, trembling, into his arms. The Blacks had owned several properties, including a small hunting cabin in a secluded magical forest, that Sirius had done his best to make habitable after the war. He had taken Severus there to recover, away from the prying eyes and judgment they would both face in wizarding society. They had given the address to the few remaining order members, but had mostly spent the past month wrapped up in each other, slowly healing. Severus had barely been able to sleep the first few weeks, afraid that when he opened his eyes he'd be back in Azkaban, a feeling Sirius was far too familiar with. But the man had gradually been able to relax. Sirius doubts they'll stay here permanently, but for now, the distance from the rest of the world is a welcome reprieve, and he's felt no temptation to leave their little bubble. While Sirius has been lost in his recollections, the stone fireplace in the corner has burned down mostly to embers, and a chill has started to seep through the room. His wand is on the bedside table, and Sirius grabs it and levitates a few logs into the fireplace as quietly as he can, waving his wand again to spark the fire. Neither of them are fond of the cold anymore. He thought he'd done a pretty good job being quiet, but when he turns back to Severus, he sees dark eyes looking back at him, blinking sleepily. Damn, he'd really tried not to disturb him. Severus doesn't seem to mind, though, pressing himself against Sirius's side and laying his head on his chest, relaxing against him. It still feels strange to have Severus so trusting and relaxed against him. A few years ago, when they'd started using sex as a way to vent their frustrations with each other, Severus always held himself tense, always a little on guard, even in their softer moments. Sirius hadn't realized how much tension Severus held until he'd finally seen him drained of it, that first night back from Azkaban, finally safe with the war over and no more weight on his shoulders. Sirius never could have imagined that slamming each other into walls in the dark corridors of Grimmauld Place would turn into soft cuddles on Christmas morning. But there were no secrets from each other anymore, no lies, and any hurt still between them could not measure up against the things they had endured together. Sirius runs his hand soothingly up and down the bumps of Severus's spine. He's not as skeletal as he was when he was first released from Azkaban, but his bones are still a bit too prominent for Sirius's liking. Still, it had taken Sirius a long time to regain a consistent appetite after Azkaban, so he tries not to dwell on it too much and enjoy the warmth of the man above him. They'd barely had a month together in this new life, and every moment they can spend together without the war looming over them feels like a gift. "Happy Christmas, love," Sirius says, and chuckles when he feels Severus wrinkle his nose at the term of endearment. It's their first Christmas together, and Sirius fully intends to make the most of it, but it's so hard to even contemplate moving at the moment.
"Happy Christmas," Severus murmurs in return, nuzzling closer. "Though I suppose we practically have Christmas every day wrapped up in this thing," he says, gesturing to the garish red and green quilt covering them both. Sirius snorts. "Exactly. It's a celebration every day. How could you possibly say no to that?" Sirius says, and Severus looks up at him just to roll his eyes. "Yes, I know. You were entirely unable to say no to this," Severus drawls, running his hand over the smooth stitching.
Sirius had found the quilt about a week before Severus had been released, at a random shop in a Muggle village. He had realized that most of the decorations he'd gotten for the house were red, and thought Severus might be more comfortable if there were a few things that didn't absolutely scream Gryffindor. He'd found some curtains in a deep forest green that he thought Severus might like, when suddenly he came across an absolute horror of a quilt. It was a bizarre pattern of interlocking neon red and green snowmen, with a border of Santa faces around it, each making a different expression. It was the strangest and most unique blanket he had ever seen, and he immediately knew he had to have it. Severus, seeing it for the first time, was also the first time Sirius had seen the man's face come anything close to a smile in years, a bit of fond amusement shining in the man's eyes.
"Please, you don't want to get rid of it either," Sirius teases.
"I don't," Severus sighs. "It's a cruel twist of fate that this monstrosity somehow ended up being the most comfortable blanket in the world."
"It really is," Sirius agrees, patting it fondly.
They lapse back into a companionable silence, and several minutes later, Sirius tilts Severus's head up for a kiss. The kiss is soft and easy and unhurried, a far cry from how harsh and frantic everything used to be between them.
Not that that wasn't fun in its own way, Sirius thinks,
and they probably will have more nights like that in the future. Still, for now, it's nice to hold each other in the early morning light and take their time, secure in the knowledge that they have time now. They can have lazy mornings every day for the rest of their lives if they want. Severus threads his hands through Sirius's hair and deepens the kiss. Sirius rolls them over, pinning Severus with his weight, enjoying the way that makes Severus gasp into his mouth and grind against him. They stay like that for a few minutes, lazily grinding against each other, until Severus hooks his leg around Sirius's waist and lets his head fall back against the pillow, and gives Sirius a look that just begs for more.
"You're not too sore from last night?" Sirius asks,
already wandlessly conjuring lubricant in his hand.
"Obviously not,"
Severus replies, his voice coming out rough. He guides Sirius's hand in between his legs. He's still a little open from last night, and Sirius's finger barely meets any resistance. A gasp that sounds like a mix of pleasure and pain falls from Severus's lips. Seems like he's a bit sore after all. Sirius takes his time teasing Severus with one finger, only adding the second when his hips are pushing back against his finger and any discomfort has faded from his face. Severus lets his head fall to the side, exposing his neck, and Sirius takes full advantage, slowly kissing his way up the gnarled scars from Nagini's bite. He pulls back to meet Severus's dark eyes as he enters him, falling into the unending depths as he feels the tight heat around him.
"Your eyes put the night sky to shame, you know," Sirius says with a groan,
slowly drawing himself out and then back in. A flush is spreading down Severus's pale chest, and Sirius isn't sure if it's from the compliment or the physical sensations.
"Really? That's what you're thinking of right now? My eyes?"
Severus digs his nails into Sirius's back, urging him to go faster.
"Yeah, they're easy to get lost in. Why, is there something else you'd rather I focus on?"
Sirius grins, speeding up. Severus snorts, which turns into a strange sort of gasp as Sirius rolls his hips and strikes the right place inside him. He then takes Sirius's hand in his and wraps it around his cock, and Sirius begins to stroke him. They don't talk in the minutes after that, two wrapped up in each other, their pace becoming more frantic as they finish together. Afterwards, Severus dozes back off, still having several decades of sleep to catch up on in Sirius's estimation. Sirius pads downstairs. The downstairs is all one area, a combined kitchen and living room space. Sirius goes to the kitchen area to get started on breakfast, pulling sausage and eggs from the icebox and sparking up the stove. He's found he actually enjoys cooking a great deal. As a child and teenager, it had been assumed that he would have house elves for the rest of his life, so no one had ever bothered to teach him to cook. There had been no opportunity in Azkaban, obviously, and little opportunity while on the run catching wild game and either skewering it to cook over a fire or just eating it raw as Padfoot. He hadn't taken the time while trapped in Grimald Place either, doing his best to avoid creatures' sour muttering as he traipsed around the kitchen. It wasn't until he was on the run with Harry, Ron, and Hermione that he discovered he actually liked cooking. Even though the teens were technically of age by then, Sirius was the only real adult, and the only one with decent foraging skills. Finding a way to put together a decent meal had been a welcome distraction, and it had been one of the things he felt he could do to care for the children like an actual authority figure would. One of the few ways he could raise their spirits. He still enjoys it, though he's not tried anything very ambitious. He mostly just finds cooking a bit relaxing. It's nice to have a way to take care of Severus in a way that doesn't seem to make the man self-conscious. Not that the man isn't more than capable of handling himself in the kitchen, Sirius is sure. But Severus has always seemed fairly indifferent to cooking, likely due to spending most of his adult years at Hogwarts having all his meals provided for him. Severus soon comes into the kitchen, as the smoky smell of cooking sausage fills the whole house, still wrapped in the snowman quilt.
"Breakfast is almost ready, though if you want we could do presents first," Sirius says,
nodding to the small tree in the corner of the living room, visible through an open door. His stomach lets out a large growl and Severus raises an eyebrow.
"Breakfast first, I should think," Severus says,
the corner of his lip pulling up into a smile. Severus goes to slice bread for toast, browning it with a flick of his wand, while Sirius plates the eggs and sausage.
"So, are you looking forward to the Weasleys tonight?"
Sirius asks, taking a bite of his eggs. He's excited to see Harry again. It's been a few weeks, but this will be the first time Severus has been around more than two or three people in months.
"I suppose,"
Severus murmurs. If he is nervous, he isn't showing it. The guest list for the gathering had spiraled into an unofficial Order of the Phoenix reunion, and while Sirius would be glad to see all of them again, he knew Severus's feelings were a little more complicated.
"We don't have to go if you're not feeling up to it," Sirius offers. "I've told you a dozen times, Black. I'll be fine."
Severus rolls his eyes, cutting into his sausage and taking a bite.
"I know, I just don't want you to feel obligated if you're not ready," Sirius says. "Black, I assure you that no matter how poorly the Weasley brats behave, or how dull the conversation is, it won't hold a candle to the misery last year's Christmas party was,"
Severus snaps. Sirius feels a chill run through him. Severus has spoken very little of his time deep undercover, and Sirius stopped asking after the first few times made Severus go distant and hollow-eyed for a few hours. He figures Severus will open up about all that when he's ready. Severus seems to catch himself. He continues, slightly softer.
"I'm not made of glass."
"I know that," Sirius sighs, reaching for Severus's hand, running his thumb over the knuckles in what he hopes is a soothing gesture.
"But we've both spent over half our lives forced to do things we didn't want to do, because of the war, or because we were forced to, or out of some twisted sense of obligation. And I'm done with that. The war's over, the world's saved, and now I just want to do the things I want to do with the people I care about, and I want you to do the same. We should take some time to live life for ourselves. We've definitely earned it."
"Live life for ourselves?"
Severus pauses, a sad smile on his face that hurts Sirius's heart.
"I'm not sure I'll be much good at that." "I'll teach you then. It comes easy for me. I'm a horribly selfish person at heart, really. When I see something I want, I just have to take it."
Sirius grins and laces his fingers through Severus's.
"Is that so?"
Severus murmurs, looking down at their intertwined hands and pulling the quilt more tightly around him with his free hand.
"It is. So if you don't want to go, just tell me. I'm fine going alone if you don't mind being alone here for a few hours. Or we both stay. There'll be other parties."
Sirius squeezes his hand. Severus appears to take a few moments to genuinely mull it over.
"I'll go. Mundungus may be going, and I wouldn't want to miss the entertainment provided by Molly following him around the house trying to stop him filching things,"
Severus says, and Sirius laughs.
"Now, I remember you saying something about presents."
"I did,"
Sirius says, letting Severus change the subject, standing and pulling him to the living room. He'd put the presents under the tree. He'd only gotten a handful, since he didn't want it to be overwhelming, but he hoped Severus would like them. He gestures to the couch and Severus sits, while Sirius grabs the first present. Severus takes it, his cheeks already growing a bit flushed, so Sirius tries not to stare too intently as he opens it. It's a journal, leather-bound, and with protection spells so Severus will be able to take notes while he's brewing and not get anything stained. Severus smiles softly and gives him a soft thank you as Sirius grabs the second gift. The second gift is a simple pair of black, fur-lined gloves. Sirius had brought a few extra pairs here when they first moved, but none of his fit Severus quite right, even with some hastily done tailoring magic. Severus nods his thanks again. Severus opens the third gift and pauses, fingers tracing the engraved cover.
This is...
He trails off, looking to Sirius.
The translation of Fang's Uses of Quicksilver in Medicinal Potions and Alchemy.
Severus had mentioned the book a few years back, after Arthur had been bitten by Nagini, and Severus was looking for a solution. The tome apparently held many useful medicinal insights and methods for brewing complex antidotes that weren't typically used in British potion-making. Severus had managed to make the antidote without it somehow, but the title had stuck in Sirius's head.
Did they release a translation when I was in Azkaban? I didn't realize anyone was even working on it.
Severus flips the book open to the table of contents, finger trailing softly down the list of chapters, looking more reverent than Sirius has ever seen him.
I may have commissioned one,
Sirius shrugs. It had cost an arm, a leg, and a painting that had been in the Black family since the Middle Ages. That was hideous anyway. But it was worth it for the look on Severus's face. And likely for the world, if it had inspired Severus to invent some new potions.
You... just for me?
Severus asks, stunned.
Of course. I also do have the translator's information if you have any questions,
Sirius says. Severus bites his lip, and Sirius can hear all the things he's holding himself back from saying in the silence.
This is too much. I'm not worth it. Are you mad?
Sirius feels a spike of anxiety. Maybe he did go too far. He didn't want to overwhelm the man, that's why he kept the other gifts small.
I... thank you. I'll use it well,
Severus says after a long pause.
I know you will,
Sirius says, with the warm feeling of relief spreading through his chest. He places a hand on Severus's knee.
I have something for you as well. It's not nearly as much, but I hope you'll like it,
Severus says, pulling a small package neatly wrapped in brown paper from somewhere in the quilt still wrapped around him. Sirius is surprised. Severus hasn't left the cabin since they arrived, so Sirius has no idea how he managed to get him something. He probably should have asked if Severus had wanted help getting him something, but honestly, the thought had never even occurred to him. Either way, Severus was clearly clever enough to figure out a way on his own. Sirius opens the package carefully, and inside is a scarf made of crimson wool, the softest Sirius has ever felt, knit with a delicate pattern of interlocking braids.
It's beautiful,
Sirius says, and Severus turns as crimson as the scarf.
How on earth did you manage to keep it a secret from me? I had the Weasley boy borrow the needles and yarn from Molly's supply and bring them to me, then worked on it while you slept. I suppose I owe him a thank you for his discretion. I know it's not much, but I did want to get you something.
Severus shrugs slightly.
It's perfect,
Sirius says fiercely, tracing the braided pattern.
I didn't even know you knew how to knit, let alone like this. My mother taught me a long time ago. I'm glad I still remembered how. I've not tried in years. I do have a few practice squares that are never seeing the light of day, though.
Severus looks down, tracing the pattern of the scarf with his index finger.
Well, we both have plenty of time for picking up old hobbies now, and maybe learning some new ones.
Sirius wraps an arm around Severus, who leans into it.
That's true. I suppose if we ever get bored, we could start putting you in dog shows.
Severus deadpans, and Sirius laughs.
Though I imagine you wouldn't do too well at the obedience portion. I wouldn't. Though I do think I'd be very good at herding sheep,
he replies. Severus chuckles at this, and Sirius tries to imagine it. Himself terrorizing everyone at a dog show as Padfoot, then performing perfectly. Severus standing there with a stern expression on his face, and a glimmer in his eyes, and a twitch in his lips. And only Sirius would be able to tell that Severus was fighting with all he could not to burst out laughing. It would be ridiculous. But well, why not?
For some reason, I think you're right.
Severus looks a little troubled by the idea as he leans his head against Sirius's shoulder. Maybe he's having similar thoughts to Sirius, or realizing that Sirius is actually considering it. He turns back to his book. They spend the rest of the afternoon curled together on the sofa. Severus remains engrossed with his new book. Sirius dozes off as Padfoot, with the scarf draped over him, and with his head in Severus's lap, enjoying the feeling of the man absently scratching behind his ears while he watches snow drift lazily down through the window. It's the best Christmas day he could have hoped for.